Well, we were sitting around in our office on the morning of June 11th, and Craig was reading the Austin American-Statesman here, the local paper, and it contained a story that was talking about how Governor Perry had issued some threats to our local district attorney, Rosemary Lemberg, basically saying that she had to resign her elected office or that he was going to veto funds for the Public Integrity Unit, which her office runs, state funding. So we started to, take a little look at the statutes, and we found four things that seemed on point for potential felonies. And we, vetted it over the next few days and ended up filing a complaint with the appropriate authority, who, ironically, in this case, was the same Rosemary Lemberg who 2 months ago had been pulled over here in Austin with a bottle of vodka in the front seat, a drunken driving arrest, which she followed up by abusing her arresting officers. We've all.
I want to get back
Yeah.
to that
Sure.
infamous bottle and the arrest, of course.
Sure.
But you, the four felonies that you folks identified, abuse of official capacity, coercion of a public servant, official oppression, and bribery. And presumably, with the indictment, at least two of those charges have been justified, at least in terms of the grand jury moving forward with an actual indictment. And we're talking about abuse of official capacity and coercion of a public servant.
That's right.
Now, as you're aware, the governor says, I was doing nothing more than saying that I was going to veto this money. And in fact, he
Right.
actually did veto.
That's right.
Why is that not just an exercise of the governor's discretion?
Well, there is the governor and his defenders have said that he has absolute constitutional authority for his veto, and that's true. We have never argued with that, and that's perhaps why they like to dwell on that. That's utterly uncontroversial. Everybody agrees he has veto power. So our complaint, interestingly enough, was filed shortly before the veto even occurred. Why? Because it didn't have to do with the veto. It had to do with threatening another official in the context of which the veto was kind of the billy club used to threaten the official and demanding that she step down. So it was the threats that created the problem, not the veto itself.
So you believe this is an abuse of official capacity?
That's right. And that it's up to the people of Travis County to pick their district attorney, not a matter of choice for Governor Perry.
It's easy for someone listening to us sort of in the background, I suppose you could say.
Yeah.
We're talking more about Perry and the indictment. It's all become a kind of a continuation of this narrative that began a week ago. My concern is that as it stands, I guess my question more than a concern is as it stands, there is this idea, and it's one that's embraced by many, as you say, liberal pundits, that this is a question about whether or not the governor actually has this authority, this veto power, to assert against this district attorney, this Travis County district attorney. And indeed, you don't argue that she handed a political opponent, Governor Perry, the tool to her own destruction, this vodka
Correct.
bottle.
Correct.
But you're saying that somewhere in the construction of this narrative at that national level, we've lost the plot. It's not about the veto. It's
That's
about the
right.
threat.
It's about the threat, the coercion that accompanied it. So Governor Perry had every right to veto the funding for the Public Integrity Unit. It seemed to us in reviewing these statutes that he didn't have the right to threaten another public official with serious consequences unless she resigned her elected position.
Andrew Wheat is Research Director of Texans for Public Justice. He and Craig McDonald filed the original complaint against Governor Perry, the one which led to the governor's indictment last Friday. Thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you.
For the Texas Standard, I'm David Brown, KUT News.